The Defense Science Board's Task Force on Service Contracting was organized in December of 2009. Its report has not yet been released to the public, but the task force's chairman, Dr. Jacques Gansler, previewed their findings in testimony before the Commission on Wartime Contracting yesterday. They made 8 findings, one of which, Gansler says, is that senior leaders in DOD are victims of a culture that is driven by contracting for products, not people. Because of that, he says, they don't have good visibility into service contracts.
That is a cultural problem. People don't now recognize, in many cases within the DOD, the fact that 50%, in some cases more than 50% of their total force are contractors. They aren't recognizing the value of contractors in a contingency environment. They're not training with them. They're not doing the planning for it. They're not doing the procedures and so forth.
Gansler, a former Undersecretary of Defense for Acquisition and now a professor at the University of Maryland, told the commission the product-driven thinking causes DOD leaders to think more about compliance with the contract than good performance.
The main conclusion was that all of the rules, all the practices, all the policies, most of the legislation, et cetera, are all focused on buying things. Goods. We don't do any training. When I was undersecretary, I paid for 100 case studies to be written for the Defense Acquisition University. They all came out to be on products. No case studies on services. Well, the people are being trained on buying products. All the rules are written around that. And certainly, as Mr. Francis mentioned, the field commanders don't have any education training about the fact that they're going to have all these people doing services for them of 50% of their workforce. That has to be part of the exercises, part of the rules, part of the practices, and part of the culture. The emphasis has to shift.
Commission co-chairman Chris Shea says the de-emphasis on service contracting has led to a lack of oversight over those contracts, particularly in Iraq and Afghanistan. He was irked, for example, that service contracting was not mentioned in the most recent quadrennial defense review. He wanted to know why DOD shouldn't be forced to limit its service contracts to the ones it can effectively manage.
We need to focus on the government management of the services contract.
And if the government isn't even willing to recognize that they're so important to put them in the QDR, why do you even think for a second that they're capable of managing half of our personnel overseas when they're not even in the QDR?
That has to be changed. There's no question about that. But that's not the contractor's fault. That's the government's fault. Well, the government has to make that change, and Congress can help that.
But so then what we wrestle with is, if the government isn't willing to, maybe we should only hire the contractors that we can properly oversee, so that we don't have this extraordinary waste. That's what we wrestle with.
And you wouldn't get the work done.
Gansler says his panel also found that the methods DOD has used so far to introduce more competition into service contracting has had unintended consequences. He says there's been a trend toward awarding contracts on the basis not of best value, but on the basis of lowest bid technically acceptable. Commissioner Clark Kent Irvin and Gansler agree that's a good strategy for some things, but not for many services.
Because there are, it seems to me, certain things.
For buying towels and bread and things.
Exactly.
But not for engineers.
Could not agree more.
The idea that you buy an engineer who has a degree because he got off the back of a matchbox and his temperature is 98.6, that's all that matters?
And
take the low hourly rate for an engineer?
Completely agree.
And Gansler says DOD's competition strategies for services have created an environment where incumbent contractors automatically feel disadvantaged when a contract comes up for recompetition.
Too frequently now, what we're doing is giving it away to a low bidder. Somebody who simply is knowing how much it's cost in the past is simply lowballing it in order to get the contract, not worrying about the quality. And what I would argue is that if you're an incumbent and not doing a good job, you don't deserve to follow on.
Right.
But if you're an incumbent who's doing a really outstanding job and improving performance and getting lower cost, I would say that they deserve the follow-on on a sole source basis on that condition.
Hmm.
But it's a performance and cost that we should be evaluating. And too often we've been moving to this low bid, technically acceptable, and not using prior performance at all.
Gansler says another unintended consequence of competition for service contracts happens when a vendor comes into DOD with a new idea, an unsolicited proposal.
In the old days, they would say, well, we'll give you a demonstration contract, then we'll compete it after we see whether it works or not, this new idea. Today, they're saying, well, we have to worry about our scorecard on competition, so thanks for your great new idea. we'll get, put it out for competition and see if anyone else wants to bid lower on it. Well, that's a real discouragement for giving them some new idea.
The task force also found DOD has a long way to go when it comes to acquiring service contracts through commercial best practices, something he says is allowed under the Federal Acquisition Regulation. The panel found only 18% of DOD's service contracts are secured using those practices. As a result, Gansler says there are still huge barriers to entry for businesses that could otherwise have DOD as a potential customer.
Part of the problem here is that services are often listed in the yellow pages, you know, the kinds of services, truck driving or, you know, things of that sort, or even maintenance type of things for commercial aircraft or military aircraft. There's a lot of services function, food services, for example. And these are people who are not traditionally defense suppliers because of things like cost accounting standards, intellectual property rights, export controls, all of the barriers to commercial firms doing defense business. If those were removed, we could get some of the companies who have the experience and low cost as a result of commercial competitions.
Another finding, DOD needs to update its guidance on what inherently governmental really means. He says it's clear that activities like managing contracts need to be handled by government employees and that non-inherently governmental functions are best put out for competition. But he says the panel found DOD's definitions of inherently governmental around its insourcing initiatives were too open-ended. It also found that although DOD has been restoring its acquisition workforce, training in the area of service contracts is lacking, especially since most of the people managing large service contracts are not acquisition professionals. In Washington, Jared Serbu, Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.